This is the fourth shiur on Haggadah Shel Pesach. We are continuing. We are holding by Mitechila of the Avodah Zarah Yavotenu. From here, the real gist of Haggadah starts. Till now, last time I mentioned that up to here is basically a Hakdamah of how important it is to pay attention to Haggadah. That's why it says the Chachamim stayed up till the morning. That's why it says that the Torah talks in four different languages to four different kinds of children. That means no matter what kind of a child the father has, he's obligated to somehow connect with him and tell him over the story of Haggadah. From here, from Mitechila, the basic Yesod of Haggadah starts. I mentioned that Gemara says that Matchilin Begenai, you start with bad situation and you end up with good. So one of the explanations on that is that we start from the fact that originally our forefathers were of the Avodah Zarah, and now HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought us close to his Avodah. So we go from bad to good. Shenemar. As it says in the Pasuk, Vayomer Yehoshua. Now, from here, every time Haggadah brings something, it brings a proof from the Pasuk for it. Just like every Braita, just like every Mishnah, to tell you where we learn this point from. Your fathers used to live me'ever Hanahar, on the other side of the river. Terach Avi Amram Avin Achor, was Terach, who was Avodah Zarah, Ovid Avodah Zarah, was the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor. I'm going to say this and I'm going to tell you why we start from here. I took Abraham, your father, from Ever Anahar. I brought him to Eretz Canaan and I made him many. I gave him Yitzchak, and to Yitzchak I gave Yaakov and Esav. And to Esav I gave Har Seir, the Yaakov, one of Yardum Israel. The reason that the Haggadah brings this is to tell you that the reason that Bnei Israel had to go down to Mitzrayim was because they had to be purified. They had come from a very humble beginning, from the of the Avodah Zarah, and they had to go to Mitzrayim to become like an iron that you put into fire, and then you put into water, and becomes hardened. They had to go in and become a nation. They had to become hardened as a nation. That's why over here, Yishmael is not mentioned. Yishmael is not mentioned because Yishmael is not a part of Israel. It doesn't say I gave to Abraham Yishmael and Yitzchak. It says I gave to Abraham Yitzchak. And I gave to Yitzchak, Yaakov and Esav. Esav would have been a part of Kirat Israel, except that once Yaakov got the Bechora, Esav went off his Mahalech to Seir. Yaakov went down to Mitzrayim to become the nation. So going down to Mitzrayim is what makes them into a nation. So this was our beginning. And now HaKadosh Baruch Hu has brought us close. Right there, Haggadah takes a little tangent. It's not tangent, but it brings out the point. It says, Baruch Shomer Abtachato Israel. Hashem promised. Hashem took Abraham from Ever Anahar, and he sent his children to Mitzrayim. Hashem had promised to Abraham that your children will go down to Mitzrayim and they will come out. Baruch Shomer Abtachato Israel. Hashem kept his promise for the Jews. Why do you say that? What should your kids get out of this? Hashem kept his promise. Baruch Hashem, who kept his promise for the Jews, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the calculation, because he told Avram, 400 years they should come out, and they'll come out. Your children are going to tell you this. What are they going to say? Every one of the children who are boys, girls, when they got a certain age, they're going to say, Chishev et haketz, right? Ketz is gematria, 190. That really, even Israel had to be in Mitzrayim 400 years. HaKadosh Baruch Hu discounted Ketz 190 years, and after 210 years brought them out. That's the word that they're going to teach them in in TA, TI, this Yaakov. Those kids will go there, they're going to tell you this is the Bar Torah.
What does it say again?
Chishevet HaKetz. Hashem Chishevet HaKetz. He calculated Ketz. Ketz is 190. Right? 400 minus 190 is 210. So he told them they're going to be 400 years in Mitzrayim. But he discounted it. Now, how did he discount it? That's how you're going to ask your kids. How did he discount it? The kids are going to tell you, Hashem took off 190 years, so you'll come out of Mitzrayim faster. So you tell your kids, how did he discount it? What do you mean? He said 400 years. How did he discount it? So the answer is, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said 400 years, he didn't say from when. He said your children would be in Galut 400 years. From where? When does it start from? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu kept it open, the beginning. He would decide where it would start from. So he decided to make it as early as possible, the beginning. The beginning became when Yitzchak Avinu was born. From the moment that Yitzchak was born till they came out of Mitzrayim is 400 years.
Why did he do this?
Why did he do this? That's the next question. So why did Hashem do this? Why did he make it earlier to discount it? Really, it should have been from the moment that Yaakov went down to Mitzrayim.
They were not allowed. They would not be able to come out anymore.
Oh, very good.
Stay longer in the... Yeah, but you need Zechut. You can't just say, okay, no choice.
That Zechut is this Lashon. Baruch Shomer Avtachato LeYisrael. He made a promise to Avram Avinu. He said they're going to come out. Once he said to Avram Avinu they're going to come out, means I made a promise. Now, Bnei Israel should have lasted 400 years. Except that they went down so much in Tumah. Had they stayed a moment later, they would have lost the chance of coming out. Yeah. So I, who made that promise, had to somehow calculate it differently and bring him out.
Didn't they work extra hard those last years? And that also counts.
Good. Years? Okay, good.
So how does that relate to this? It's not.
The Master said 400 years?
He worked harder.
He said 400 years? But he said 400 years.
400 normal working years. Not.
But he said 400 years. What he do is 400 years. So all these things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did was a way of making it shorter.
So he made the promise because he was going to need to cash in that promise.
Hashem knows everything. No, don't ask this guy. He's not going to like those kind of questions. Yeah, this is the college boys at the Seder. We're talking about the younger kids at the Seder here.
Two questions. Hashem, does
he
understand that
it's
not
to
Yisrael, the way of Galut?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Because... Because the Master, Yitzchak, from the moment that he was born, he was in the land, Asher lo lahem. Wasn't in his land. Okay. Hashem didn't say Mitzrayim. It's in the land that doesn't belong to them. So he was in a land that he wasn't belong to.
The whole time was in Eretz
Yisrael. But it wasn't his yet.
And what is?
I will give it to you. He didn't give it yet.
What does really mean? It would be a point that they can return. What does that mean?
What really has to happen? What does that mean? At any point, anybody could be teshuva.
No, they there's no here. They didn't do teshuva. The point is, they would have gone down so much in tumah, right? That there was no desire to come out anymore. That's it.
Hashem wants it to happen.
Well, that's how he made it happen.
No. If Hashem wants them to come, they do.
That's what he did.
Not to come, not to do it early. If Hashem wants them to come out, they would come out at the right time. They would do teshuva. With the right...
Yeah, Hashem does not make a person do teshuva. That is in our hand to do. Hashem could change the situation. He can't change us. Hashem said, I'll take you out. In other words, when Hashem gave him the opportunity to do Korban Pesach, had they stayed longer in Mitzrayim, they could not have done Korban Pesach. They would have been so involved in Abu Dazara that they would not have been able to rebel against it. So therefore, when your kids ask you or tell you this word, then you could challenge them. What I'm trying to convey here is your kids will know many things. But that doesn't mean, therefore, you just let them say it. You challenge them. This way they will have questions, and then you could give them answers.
Oh, wait, when we start counting the galut, that's probably Yaakov went down to it.
Right. There could be many beginnings. It could be from the moment Yosef went down to Mitzrayim.
But So it doesn't make a difference. What was the beginning?
Well, let me explain. You could count it from the moment Yosef went down to Mitzrayim. You could count it from the moment Yaakov went down to Mitzrayim. You could count it from the moment that after the Shevatim died, Shibud started, the really pressure started, right? When do you count it from? So the Rambam says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps the beginning open to allow himself to adjust it the way he wants.
But it doesn't satisfy the answer. But the question is, if the Galut, it's been meant to be for 100 years. If you know the beginning, then you know there's been discounted. If you know the beginning, there's no discounted. It might be ending by end of the Mitzrayim.
What the simple pshat of the 400 years is simple meaning. Hashem said, your children will be strangers in the land that doesn't belong to them. Which means it's a certain kind of a difficulty. Now, Yitzchak didn't have so much difficulty. He was in Eretz Israel. Right? But Hashem translated it to the literal meaning of the word. Did Eretz Israel belong to Yitzchak? No. So he happened to be in the land that doesn't belong to him.
Since he was born?
Yeah.
Like we calculated since
from the as soon as you have Zaracha, Hashem says, Zaracha, very good. As soon as your Zaracha came, so I start the Galut. Means he made it as early as possible.
But when we want to calculate it, really we calculate when Yaakov
went down to Israel. We would have calculated from
a lot of the
yes. We would have calculated from the time Yaakov went down to Israel. Poshut Pshad, yes. One might say maybe from Yosef, because Yosef was the beginning of Galut. One might say maybe later when the Shibut started. Pashut is when Yaakov went down, when Israel went down to Israel. But Hashem made it 190 years earlier, which is from when Israel was born. Because Yaakov was 130 years old when he went down to Mitzrayim. When Yaakov went down to Mitzrayim, he came to Paro. Paro said, how old are you? He said, 130. And Yitzchak was 60 years old when Yaakov was born. Right? Yitzchak was 60 years old when Yaakov was born. Yaakov was 130 when he went down to Mitzrayim. That's 190 years. Those 190 years, Hashem discounted it. He made it earlier. Right? Make sense? Okay. I'm going to tell you a pshat. It's very dear to me. I didn't say that pshat. I saw it and it's one of the best things you could tell your kids. They're not going to know this word. It says, "V'gamet agoy asher yavodu don anochi." Hashem told Avram Avinu that the nation that are going to work the Jews, I'm going to judge them. So I tell my kids. I asked my kids, how many punishment did Hashem brought to Mitzrayim? 10 makot. Later on we're going to read, it was not 10, 50, and 200, and blah, 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 all that, right? So Rav Sadia Gaon says that all those punishments, all those difficulties that we're going to talk about, all were included in two words. Don Anochi. I will judge. Right? Don Anochi. I will judge. Included all those punishments. So Rav Sadia Gaon, imagine if for these two words, to fulfill these two words, Hashem brought so many makot, imagine how much He will bring on the goyim in Yimud HaMashiach for all the lines and lines and lines of promises that Hashem wrote in Nevi'im, that I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. He wrote pages. For two words, He did so much. For all those pages, imagine how much He's going to bring as punishment for the goyim that whatever they've done.
What is this done of? Is this a chumash?
Yeah, that's the berit v'anabitari. Va'acharechen yesu birchush gadol, and that afterwards they come out with a big treasure. Okay. Lehi sham da la'avotenu velanu. This is what stands for us, for our fathers, and for us. What is this? Vehi. And this. The promise. So your kids are going to tell you what is Vehi stand for. Vav is Shisha Sidre Mishnah. Hey is Chamisha Chumshei Torah. Yud is Aseret HaDivarot. And Aleph is Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Right? Emuna in the Torah of Torah Sheba'al Peh and Torah Shebichtav and Aseret HaDibrot and Hashem Elokeinu Yisham V'la'avotenu. Okay? This is what they're going to tell you. It is nice. They appreciate it. You already know. They also, there is another shot. Vehi Sham V'la'avotenu. This is for the elders. Vehi, you could read Vehe Sham V'la'avotenu. If you take out the Nekuda, you could read Vehe Sham V'la'avotenu. Right? That's He Shechinta V'galuta. The He of Shechina, which is in Galut with us, is what protected us throughout the Galut. You could tell this to your kids. That means no matter where the Jews are, Hashem is always with them. No matter where you are. When they were in concentration camp, Hashem was with them. When they were in Mizraim, Hashem was with them. And in America, Hashem is with us.
What does that mean?
It's Shechina. He is a simon to Shechina.
He is she. She is Shekhinah.
They didn't want to say it al pechabola vehe referred to Shekhinah. They said it later. Right. But Pashut Peshal is talking about that promise. That promise is what protects us. Your kids should know a song on this. Yeah, you let them sing it, and you sing it with them. And by the way, when you say Ve'isham, do you hold up the cup? Because that's a sign of a cherut. Yeah, they have a tune. Yeah, you let your kids sing it. Let your kids sing it.
I learn from them.
Exactly. Meaning when they have a tune, let them do it, and sing along with them. That encourages, even though you don't know it, don't say, okay, you sing, get them in here. Sing along with them. It gives them a gishmak.
How forceful do you have to be with your kids to stay up?
You know, a few people asked me this question, and I don't think I answered it adequately. I'm glad you brought it up. So let me, how forceful should you be with your kids to keep them awake? Okay? You should not be forceful. This is what I said. Not forceful. And I've said, what you do is, you have chocolate. I told the men, I told ladies. Shulchan Aruch says, you have kilayot ve'egozim. You have treats. You have chocolate. And when a kid says a nice word, she sings nicely, he sings nicely, or he asks a good question, or you ask him a good question and he gives an answer, you give him a chocolate. They're gonna wait. They see all that chocolate. Oh, you want another piece? Okay, ask a good question. Let's go further. Let me ask you a good question. You answer it, then you get it. When they say manishtana, they get a chocolate. You should not force them. The Shulchan Aruch brings down that if the children are tired, you should, I mean, they're a real kid. After you answer Avadim Hainu Lefarome Misraim, right? After Manishtana Laila Azeh, when you answer it to them, and you make the answer understood to them, the kids are Yotze. You Yotze, for those little kids.
Manishtana?
No, answer to the Manishtana. Avadim Hainu Lefarome Misraim. We were Avadim. For the little kids.
What age?
Right? If they fall asleep, you don't have to wake them up. But as the kids are more sophisticated, they understand more, they're more chacham, right? They could ask better questions, so you encourage them to stay awake.
What age is that? Like you've been just after
6, 7. When they come with the full Haggadah, right, then they are interested. Now when they're 6 years old, their Haggadah jumps from Manishtana to the four sons, and from four sons to Asara Makot. Okay? Alright, so, you know, if you see he's falling asleep, so you talk about Asara Makot faster, and then you fall asleep, you wake him up for Dayenu. Right?
You wake up.
And if they can't wake up the first night, don't worry about it. Second night, you put them to sleep in the afternoon, they stay up better. Oh, by the way, I want to give you a tip. For the younger kids, don't try to put them to sleep in the afternoon. They don't go. they are too excited to go. The better thing for the kids is to put them to sleep in the evening. Meaning, give them food, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, and then you put them to sleep, 6:30. By the time you come home from shul, by the time you want to start the seder, really, is 8:30. Right? So let them sleep 2 hours. It's better than the afternoon. And they sleep in the afternoon. First of all, they're not going to sleep. They're too excited. Second of all, when you wake them up, by the time you get to 9 o'clock, they're tired. When they sleep from 6 to 8, 8:30, and you wake them up,
they'll be up to 11.
Then, no, they're, yeah, there they go. They go further. That's it's a good thing. Those are older, and they come to shul, so they should go to sleep earlier. But the younger ones, you put them to sleep like that. Just, I'm telling you, that's my own experience with it. But if the first night they really can't stay up, so you do it second night with them. You know, that's, they're usually less tired second night. Okay, Shiloh, when I get to Veisha Amda, I speak it out. Ella shebechol dor vadoromdim anu lechalotenu. I tell my kids, especially those who are older, younger ones, 5, 6-year-old ones don't understand. When you get 10, 12, 15 years old, they understand. Means even now, we have Hamas, we have ISIS, we have in America, we have the KKKs. There are always people who want to destroy us. Kids need to know that in this country, it's not like everything just good and dandy. Okay? Baruch Hashem, Hashem has given us security. But even here, there are people who are plotting against us. Hashem protects us. They need to know that. They need to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects us. It's not that the policeman who's standing over here in the corner protects us. It's not HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matzilenu Miyadam. It's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These are the messages that they need to keep hearing and hearing and hearing. Okay, Tzeul Ma'ad Ma'am Begesh Tomando Aramil Asul Yaakov Avinu. See what Lavan wanted to do. In other words, you go back to the first one who really wanted to destroy our Yaakov Avinu. Right? Why don't we go back to Esav?
Go
back to Lavan. Esav went against Yaakov Avinu before Lavan. How come we don't go to Esav, we go to Lavan?
Yaakov was the one who caused the Esav to go after.
Lavan was the root of everything happens, Jews.
No, he wanted to take away
Yaakov
completely.
Because he got married with Rachel and the...
Right, but Yaakov ran away from Esav, and that's why he went to Lavan.
Esav didn't do anything to Yaakov.
Okay, so he hadn't done anything yet. Esav had not done anything to Yaakov yet. He plotted against him that when Yitzchak dies, I'll get rid of Yaakov. So he hadn't done anything yet. Laban was the first one who actually went against him, actively.
It seems like an Esav's son catched up to him, but it happened to him. He didn't kill him.
But it wasn't Esav.
Okay, so he's asking a good question.
But it wasn't Esav himself.
But it was Eliphaz, so say Eliphaz.
No, Esav sent Eliphaz. That was his soldier.
Sent him to kill him. Right, that's a good question.
The whole the episode of Esav.
I don't know the answer. Good question.
The whole episode of Esav and Yaakov. We don't see that much of Esav that he's rebelling against Yaakov. Like he was upset about Bracha and everything else.
He didn't just said it. He said it.
So that's a once in a the whole thing. And then we realized. And yeah, he can't even fight
Yaakov himself.
Yeah, so he says Yaakov was the one who brought it about.
We didn't mention that he did so much to Yaakov. He didn't go against. I mean, he came with the whole nation to fight with Yaakov and didn't work out or whatever. But with me. You don't realize how much...
And Lavan?
Lavan happened to him. Lavan tricked Yaakov so many times, so many ways.
Yeah, but there's no shilich to answer to his question. There's no shilich by Avera.
Okay, so there's no shilich, but so Eliphaz wanted to destroy Yaakov.
Say Eliphaz maybe, but...
Right. So I'm saying, why you start from Lavan? The answer is, the Torah starts from Lavan. Since the Torah starts from Lavan, so we say Lavan. So the question is, why does the Torah start from Lavan? Right? But this is... Okay, so Zechut, what you say?
Is Lavan have Zechut that the Torah started with Lavan?
I don't know. He's a Rasha. I mean, what do you so, Sheparu Lugazalel al Zecharim, Paru only decreed on the male, Laban wanted to destroy everybody. Right? And I speak out over here. Where do we see that Laban wanted to destroy the children? So Pashu Peshad is because Laban said, I had a power to do bad to you. To do bad to you doesn't say that he wanted to kill all the kids. Maybe he wanted to do bad to Yaakov. But how do you know that Laban wanted to destroy the kids?
Spiritual.
Yes, so this is from Rosh Yeshiva, from Rabbi Weinberg. He said, because Laban said to Yaakov, Habanot benotai, the girls are my daughters. Habanim banai, all the sons are my son. Everything you have is mine. So he wanted to assimilate them. He wanted to say, you belong to me. And you belong to me. This is how he wanted to uproot all the Jews. So you see the problem of assimilation preceded the problem of destruction. That Laban wanted to take him over, and this way they will be able to destroy everybody. So Shenemar, from here.
So what? Are we trying to make Pharaoh look good over here?
No. We're not trying to make him look good. We're trying to show that how bad Laban was, even though Torah does not elaborate on the situation of Laban. Pharaoh, we know how bad he was. Right? But we don't know how bad Laban was. The Torah says that there are situations that you might not even know about so much, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu already took care of them.
Why was Laban so bad? Okay, by getting all these kids, he probably wanted to, slavery. I mean, I have so many
children.
Jews. Yeah, it's not that they have to destroy them or purposely, whatever it is, because he's Jewish and they have the God. I'm going against their God, so let me keep the kids here so they don't practice religion. I don't think that was his intention.
It might not have been his intention, but by having taken over the kids, or by making the kids his kids, see, in that...
And that's the grandfather, basically.
It's not so simple. Yeah, if you have a Chumash. See, in the Chumash, in the dialogue that Laban has there with Yaakov, Laban points out... Thank you. Listen to the dialogue that they have with each other.
Once they do with love, they're
going to
follow his
Yeah, but Menachem is saying that was not his intention.
Destroy the Klal Yisrael, that's what, let's get them out of this practice, whatever. That's not his intention.
He's a grandfather, he wants to have the kids for himself.
So whatever it is, then work for me, make money for me.
Right. Listen to the dialogue. The dialogue goes like this. Sorry, I'm a little bit behind you. End of Parsha Vayetze. Laban comes to Yaakov and he says, now you wanted to go, you left. Why did you take my God? Whatever it was, his Abu Dazar. So Yaakov didn't know that Rachel took it. So Yaakov said, anyone who has it, right, will be killed. Should die. So Laban that was not enough for Laban. You know, even though you say this, I don't trust you, I don't believe you. And he goes around and he searches everything. Right? He came to Yaakov's tent and he searched it. He came to Leah's tent and he searched it. He searched everything out. This bothered Yaakov very much. Yaakov got very upset. He said, I really went out of my way to take care of you all these years. You don't trust me? What did I do wrong that you chased me? You checked everything that I had. What did you find? Did you find anything that was yours? Show me. Show everybody. These 20 years I worked for you, your sheep was not destroyed, was not attacked by the animals. I never brought an animal to you to say that a wolf attacked it. Anything that was a problem, I would have paid for it. I would stay up in the heat of the day and cold of the night, and I did not, I pushed away sleep from my eyes. For 20 years, I worked for you. 14 years was for your two daughters, which means therefore they are mine. And 6 years with the sheep. And then you switched around my salary so many times. If it wouldn't be for the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped me out, you would have taken everything that I had and you would have sent me empty-handed. Bayan Lawan Vaymer Yaakov. He says, what are you talking about? They're still mine. They're not yours. What do you mean you work for my daughters? Habanot benotai. Habanim banai. Hatson soni. The sheep is mine. It's all mine. V'chol asher ator ro'elihu. Everything you see over here is mine anyway. He's not doing it out of love. It's an argument. And now he says, now he goes right. V'ata, let's make a, okay fine, let's make peace. Let's make a promise over here. And this way you won't come to fight me. And I won't come to fight you. And how does he portray that promise? He says, Elohe Avraham, ve'Elohe Nachor yishpetu benenu. The God of Avraham and the God of Nachor should judge between us. The God of their fathers. Right? So Rashi says, God of Avraham is Hashem. God of Nachor is Avodah Zarah. Elohe Avihem, the God of their fathers, Terach, is Avodah Zarah. So Lavan is clearly distinguishing between your God and my God. I'm not going to follow your path. And if once he says these kids are my kids, means these kids are supposed to really follow my God. But you know what? I'll let you go. You're right. I would have, he says, Yesh le'el yadi, I would have had power to do bad to you, but your God appeared to me, so therefore I let you go.
Well, so I would have done bad to you anyways.
Huh?
Basically, if Hashem wouldn't show up, I would have killed you.
But it's different between Paro. Paro's decree was to kill everybody.
Right.
Love on, not to kill everybody, but just not to follow
They would have been destroyed. That's more destruction.
If you think about it, less severe. Okay, if you think about it.
That's what Netanyahu says. Netanyahu says, what's happening in America is spiritual Holocaust. He says there are more people have been lost to assimilation than have been lost in Holocaust. He said it a couple of times when he spoke here. You're right, but that is where Lavan is coming from. The point of the Haggadah is that whatever he wanted to do, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you see, he takes care of us. But the message that I bring out over here to the kids is that they should know is always there is, they're going who want to do bad to us. From here is when the father's job starts. From here and on, things are going to get a little bit boring. People are going to yawn from here and on. Why? Because really, I mentioned this before, really over here, we should take Parashat Shemot, Vayera, and Bo, and read it to the kids, and explain the whole three parashiyot from the beginning of the Galut till Yetziat Mitzrayim. So it's too much. We see in the Torah there are four pesukim that summarizes the whole Yetziat Mitzrayim in Parashat Ki Tavoh. We bring those four pesukim here. These four pesukim bring out all the important messages of Galut Mitzrayim. So we point out those four pesukim, and we connect it to where in the Torah it happened. Arami shenemar, Arami ovedavi. These are the four pesukim. Arami ovedavi. Lavan wanted to destroy my father. Vayered Mitzrayim. Yaakov went down to Mitzrayim. Here we go. From here is the galut. Yaakov went down to Mitzrayim. Vayagor sham bimtei me'at. He lived there with a few people. And he turned there, Legoi Gadol Atsum Varav. So this pasuk, in short, is telling me the situation of Yaakov and Bnei Israel having gone down to Mitzrayim and having turned to big nation. Every word is concentrated. So you need to explain it. So here we go. Now we take it apart, we explain it. Vayered Mitzrayim, went down to Mitzrayim. What does that mean? Anus al piyadibur, Yaakov didn't want to go down to Mitzrayim. He was forced to go. The galut means when a Jew is forced to go to galut. No Jew should want to go to galut. Galut is when you're forced to go to galut. If we are here in America, it's because we are forced to be here. We shouldn't want to be here. We are forced to be here. That's the message. He was anus al piyadibur. Bayagor sham, he lived there. Ger melamed shelo yarad Yaakov avinu leishtakia b'Misraim ela lagur sham. He went there not to become a citizen, but just to stay there temporarily. When you're in galut, you're there to be there temporarily. Shenemar vayom ruel paro lagur ba'aretz banu. We just came temporarily. Kien mira lasuah shel avodecha. There is no grazing area, grass for our sheep, because the famine, the hunger is in Eretz Canaan. And please allow us. Let us live in Eretz Goshen. So you don't have to read these things word by word and let the kids fall asleep. You could read through it quickly and then stop and say, so what do we say? Bring out the message. The message, the second message, the message of the second part is that when you are in Galut, you're temporary. We are temporary over here. That means Moshiach comes, you pack up and you leave. I build a nice house. We go. I have a good business. We go. I have this gigantic farm. We go. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Mitzrayim, they packed down and they left.
We sell nothing there.
Huh? You sell, you don't sell. Who cares? You're going to get better. So that's what Hashem said. You don't have to sell it in Mitzrayim. Let it go. They had houses, the Jews. Let it go and go. You're going to come to Eretz Zavat Chalav Udvash. You're going to come to much better land, much better place. Go. Be able to let go.
When Yaakov and his children came down, when Yosef told them to come, did they have what property?
In Canaan?
Yeah.
They must have. I mean, they lived there for a long time. Yeah, Avram was very rich. Yitzchak was very rich. All those riches came to Yaakov. Now, Yaakov lived with Yitzchak. Esav had already packed away to Seir. Yitzchak and Yaakov lived together. Be'eretz Megurei Avi, Be'eretz Canaan. So when Yitzchak passed away, all those riches that he had came to Yaakov. So they had a lot of stuff. When Yaakov came down to Canaan, when they were in Canaan, they had a lot of money.
I thought Yaakov was all the money he made through Laban. He had nothing after that.
No, after he came back.
He came back, but he didn't see Yitzchak.
Yeah. Vayeshev Yitzchak, Vayeshev Yaakov Be'eretz Megurei Aviv. Yitzchak was alive when Yosef went down to Mitzrayim. Vayev Kotu Aviv, Pasuk says. Yitzchak cried. Yitzchak knew what happened, but he couldn't reveal to Yaakov. So he was there. So, right, I think this is a very important message for the kids. A very, very important message. That we are ready to pack up and leave. It's a message for us too. That we should take and be ready. Bimtei Me'at. They came down with few people. This is, I mentioned this to you. I mention it to the kids every time. They went down with 70. So many people were killed in Holocaust. A few people came to America. Now you see what they turned after 7 years. A few people went to Eretz Israel. Eretz Israel was very small. Imagine, see what's going on. It shows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us. See, the kids, there's a yesod that we need to keep in mind. The kids grow up knowing about Hashem. But at some point, either they challenge themselves or someone will challenge them. How do you know? Well, my parents always injected it to me and they always believed in Hashem, so I believe in Hashem. But the question crosses their mind. How do you know?
How do you know what?
How do you know this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How do you know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is helping us? Right? I don't see any miracles. Who said these are all true? A human being, it crosses their mind. How do you know? That's how we know. This is how we know. I mean, I know from other places too. You want to know? Biggest proof. Look at the Jews. Right? They were killed out. Europe was destroyed. You see how many people? You know, just, you know, look at the bills of yeshiva. Look at the Babov. Go to Borough Park. Babov, 7 years ago, the Babov Rebbe came out with a few chassidim, ran away. Babov was a little village. How many chassidim were there? 500. 1,000. 1,000 chassidim. And most of them were killed. Babov Rebbe, Zichron Lebracha, ran away. And some chassidim. Go to Borough Park. The yeshiva is 3 blocks. They have a street named Babov. It's halfway what Philip Yahara. It thousands. You know, it's just a matter of 7 years. A country, a small country.
So that shows that Hashem is with us?
Yeah, Hashem is with us. There's no other country who did that. No other nation did that.
To be wiped out and then grow fast like
that? No. Right. To grow fast like that. Even though they were almost annihilated.
Every nation grow fast.
No, where do you have? Where do you have?
You know, they just stand out. Otherwise,
no, but those who destroy them, they don't.
They grow fast like crazy.
Nobody killed them out like that. Let's see how fast Syria will become.
Syria and Iraq.
What? How many thousands? The already total come by.
Let's see how they're gonna. Let's see how long it's gonna take for them to come back. Okay, Israel, with all the wars that went on, right? All the wars that they saw, and all the problems that they had, internal, external problems. Okay, right now is one of the strongest economies in the world.
In every way,
advancement in technology, in science, in medicine, in everything.
It's not just they grew; they just grew, and the whole world is basically running on them.
You know, when you see that, you know. And everybody is trying to kill them. It's not just, you know, happened to be one time, one generation. And in such a short time, they become like this. So it shows a siyata d'shmaya. It shows Hashem's hand at work.
You know, they said that there is tribes in Africa that have much, much more people than all the Jewish nations in the world right now. Nobody heard about them.
Right.
So you're talking about people, they have a lot more people, but they don't matter.
Right. So in other words, when Chazal say that they gave birth 6 tuplets, they're doing it now too. It doesn't have to be actually 6 tuplets nowadays. But it's just happening, you know, with such siyata d'shmaya all over. Now, there they also became a big nation. Big nation means when Amit Shah Yisrael Metsuyanim Sham. Israel was standing out, outstanding there. That means not only they were a lot of people, they were also distinguished people. That's another thing. You know, this is about the Jews, that they're always distinguished. They're always, wherever they are leading something. They're leading the economy, they're leading science, they're leading something. They're distinguished, they stand out. Gadol Atsum, what do you do with it? Atsum? Atsum means they really became many. Kemoshen Emar, Uvne Israel Paru Vaishesu Vairu Vaya'atsmu Vimod Meot, Vatimale Hares Otam. They became very strong. Strong, now different Mefarshim have different gestalt, different explanations here. What does that mean they became Atsum? Gadol means stature. What does Atsum mean? That they were strong. Vaya'atzmu bimod meod. Atzum means that they had power. They were influential. They had power, you know, in all different ways. Not only their stature, they also are powerful. Okay? You know, politically, financially, they are influential. In other words, wherever the Jews are, they are somehow connected to the government. Somehow they're influential. That is what made power get scared. But this is that they became strong, they became influential. Varav, and what is Varav mean? Kemosh Neemar. They became many. This is a very interesting thing. I usually speak this out. It says, it's a little bit difficult, to translate, then you translate it for them. They don't have what it, the kids don't have what it means. Now you're gonna have to speak it out. It says, Revavot Kitzema Chasadon Etaticha, I made you become many like the grass of the field. And you became many and became, you grew up and you came Ba'adei Adayim with jewelry. Shadayim Nachonus Arech Simeach, you were developed, your body developed and your hair grew. Ve'ad Eron Ve'eriya, but you were naked. Ve'evor Alayich Ve'erev Yosesed B'damayich. So the whole pasuk is a mashal. Mashal is, it's really part of a big paragraph there, but it just puts it over here, two pasukim. The mashal is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, when I came to take you out of Mitzrayim, you grew up beautifully, you developed beautifully, you were a good nation, but you were naked. That means you had nothing to, you were not presentable to me. You had no mitzvot. So I passed around by you, and I said, with the two bloods, you're going to live. So I gave you the mitzvot. So here there is a Givati Gemara. You might have heard it. Gemara in Sota. The Gemara says that what does that mean? You grew like grass. The Gemara says when the ladies gave birth, the Misrim used to come and take the kids and wanted to kill them. So the ladies would go to the fields and give birth there.
Under the apples.
Right. And when the Misrim would come, the kids would get swallowed into the ground. And the Misrim would come and plow the ground. And after they would go, the kids would grow out of the ground.
Why would they plow?
Huh? Make sure that no matter how deep they are, they should get destroyed. Huh?
They thought they're hiding. They didn't know they got swallowed to the ground.
Under the ground.
Who said that?
Gemara. Gemara says
that's how you grow and develop.
They thought they're right. Hiding. So
they came out of the ground like grass, and then the mothers had left them already, and the malach came and took care of them. But tavo'u ba'adei adayim, at the end when they wanted to come down to Mitzrayim, they started coming back to the city. Adei Adayim, they came with, you know, developed. I don't say that just as a nice little story for the kids. What I tell them is that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to save the Jews, he has many ways to save them. Okay? Now, I say it because I'm a little bit new Gabadover. Okay? But I'm sure you could all find your ways. I tell them, you know, when my father was saved, when Hashem wants to save somebody, he has ways to save him. When he was saved from Holocaust, he was saved. Everybody else, all his family perished, but he was saved. If you speak to the Holocaust survivors, each one of them has another story of how they were saved. That's what it means. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a way to save them. And those who die, Hashem has a way to, the reason for them to die. And those who were saved, Hashem has a way to save them. These are the messages of Emuna that we keep giving to the kids. I don't know. Probably it is. The Mufashim learn it like that. But it might be a metu to some degree. You know, the fact that Nisim were happening then, we know that Nisim were happening. So don't get so caught up in the translation of the words and the kids are going to get tired. Or even the adult. You could read it quickly, translate quickly, but then speak out the message. The next post. The Misrim did bad to us. This I go through quickly, I just speak it out. I say, the Misrim did bad to us. And heard by Anunu, and they heard us. By Tenu Alenu Abudakasha, and they put hard work on us. How many bad things did they do? Three things. They did bad to us, they heard us, and they put hard work on us. That's what the post says. So three bad things. What are the three bad things? They did bad to us. They plotted against us. The goyim sit and think how we're going to destroy the Jews. They plotted against us. That's when they do bad to us. Right? They will come to the land. Right? That's the message. They heard us. How did they hear us? They come up with different ways, programs to hurt us. They taxed us. They came up with, you know, pogroms, decrees, rules, laws against the Jews. Now even though they're going to follow it, it's with Ramses. That's how they hurt us. By tenu alenu avodah kasha, and they put hard work on us. What hard work? We have to be before.
Oh, it's the same thing. The previous one is almost the same thing.
I mean, the third one. The Mizraim worked in Israel before.
Yeah, one of them they put work, hard work on them. One of them is they planted and they put the hard work.
The plan, you're right, but the plan could be any plan. Sometimes the plan could be how to kill us. Sometimes the plan could be how to say that the Jews put blood in their matzah, right? All different kinds of plans. The goyim keep they're making plans against us, even though we don't know. And Hashem will take care of the plans, but they plan against us. The second one is when they actually make laws and rules and decrees against the Jews, right? The third one is avodat perech. What's avodat perech? Avodat perech is work for no gain. They make us work for no gain, which means they take away hope from us. That's what avodat perech is. There's no result coming out. Therefore, you have no hope for life. There's nothing to live for.
What if they didn't halakas?
They didn't
do this, though.
Huh?
What if they didn't halakas? They didn't do this.
They didn't. You know when my kids say a story on this?
For hope, for no reason, they made them.
You know when my kids say a story? During Holocaust, they said, no. Cover that term? Yeah. the kids speak out the story that they were told in school. He said that during Holocaust, they got this guy he was in one of these jails, said there is this handle, this lever, that you have to keep turning. And you keep turning. And, alright, so the guy did it. If that's what I have to do, instead of they're killing me, I could do this. It's good. You know, hard work. But I'm doing something. You know, he thought maybe he's grinding wheat on the other side. So after he was liberated, he came out of the cell. So he said, you know, I want to see, you know, all this hard work that I put into this. What was the machine? He goes there and he says it's not connected to anything. Right then, he has a heart attack. He dies right there. So all this work I did for nothing?
I don't know that.
This is emotional torture. Okay? The first one, this one is physical torture. This one is emotional torture. They take away hope. They emotionally, they torture us.
Mentally, they're breaking
out. Worse than physical.
Mm-hmm. Right.
How many years they did?
This guy?
No, how many years they did in Israel? How many generations, I should say? Not how many years.
Probably, I think, three generations.
So which means the third generation,
right?
Levi
died, right? After Levi, who was the last of the Shevatim, died, she would start it. So you have Amram, right? B'nai Levi was... B'nai Levi was Gershon, Gad, Umrari, and B'nai Kehat was Amram and Moshe. So three generations. Kehat, Amram, Moshe. 210 years. Well, 210 years was from the time of Yaakov Avinu. So Yecheshbon, Yaakov Avinu was 130. He died. You could calculate it. I don't remember exactly how many years exactly. Because Levi also died at 130.
The generation that Hashem wants to save is the third generation. Yeah.
Yes.
They always been
the third, Shibut. The third or fourth generation.
They were born into Shibut.
Yes. Yeah, of course. Right.
I'm saying they were born into this kind of.
Yeah.
From day first, they opened their eyes.
These are the kids that Paro wanted to throw into the river, right? And it didn't work. So then they put hard work on them.
Rabbi, if Hashem promised us,
from the time that Moshe Rabbeinu was growing up, those old, that 8 years, from the time Moshe Rabbeinu was born, even before that, but in 8 years, was all these decrees going on.
When Hashem promised us that the nation is going to be a big nation, but so why Hashem has to keep up fighting against Paro to save the kids? If the Hashem promised that you're going to be a big nation, what difference does it make for a Jew to become a bigger nation when they leave Mitzrayim or when they are in Mitzrayim to become a big nation? Why has to be all this miracle that the kids should be alive to go out of Mitzrayim?
Okay, so Chazal tell us that the number of Bnei Israel that they were supposed to come out of Mitzrayim was 600,000 people. There had to be a minimum of 600,000 men coming out of Mitzrayim.
That's after all the Makot Kosher.
Everything.
What? I mean, it's like a pure number.
No, I mean, it could have been more. But the minimum that was supposed to come out was
600,000.
Without Erev Rav. 600,000 men. But that 600,000 was a magic number that Hashem, in other words, Hashem had planned that this number has to come out. Now, I could make more come out. Right? But
how does that hint in? What
do we
know? 600.
Yeah, so the Torah says.
How many verses after the fact that they came out? I've never said this.
Now, why do we care that the Torah should say how many people came out?
Because it's a historic event, so we should know how many people came out.
All right. We have it.
What has to be the reason 600,000 people? What's the reason behind it has to be 600?
Yeah. Hold on.
But that's only men, or that's all together?
Who?
The 600,000 is only men?
Men.
Somebody has to come here, but I don't make it. That's where Raju is
He says, "Va'isu ben Israel meramses sukota." Ben Israel moved. They went from Ramses. They came to Sukkot. They came out of Mitzrayim. K'sheshmod elev ragli agivarim levad mitav. Like 600 a little bit change. Like 600,000 men beside the children. Also elev rav, and all those things also came with them out. Umoshav ben Israel Asher Yashmu, right? So that's what the number. I know, but why should the Torah tell me this? Okay? So where is the 600,000? Why was this 600,000? So they say that when Adam Arishon did the chet, a lot of and during the time that he was separate from his wife, a lot of Shechvat Zera came out of him. A lot of Nitzotot HaKedusha came out of him. And although this is Afi Chabor, you cannot tell this to your kids, but a lot of Nitzotot HaKedusha came out of him. Right? Kedusha, holy sparks. And although Nitzotot HaKedusha were captured by the tomb of Mitzrayim. Because Mitzrayim was Ervat HaAretz, was the filthiest place of the world, so to speak. It was worse than San Francisco. So automatically all those Kedushas were captured by the Kelipot in Mitzrayim. The reason the Jews came down to Mitzrayim, why did they have to come to Mitzrayim? Because Bnei Israel ended up taking the place of Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon was supposed to be the purpose of the world. He messed it up, so Bnei Israel were to take his place. So therefore they had to come and recapture all that Kedusha and bring it out. That's why they had to give birth to so many people. That's why it says that only the families that came out of Mitzrayim who did not get messed up with Arayot. That's when Parshat Pinchas, Hashem puts the hey and a yud of his name on every family to say all these families were pure. They didn't mess up. So these 600,000 people were supposed to pull out all those 600,000 Nisusuta Kedusha that came out of Mitzrayim, of Adam, and got captured in Mitzrayim. So that's why you needed so many people to bring it out. That's why they had to multiply and have so many people.
What's the magic number have to do with this? Is there a reason why the 600,000 have to do with this or no?
No, I don't know whatever the 600,000 was that came out of Warishu. That's why, if you say these things that they say now, you know, there's a Karat Kesef, you know what Karat Kesef is? Mm-hmm. The Parsha Nesim that they say every day, these days. After every day, there's a tefillah for the Neshamot. If you look at the Sidur, after the peace that you say for the day, there's a tefillah for the Neshamot. That Hashem should, yes, there is a Sephardim Jazz on the shelf, right there on the top shelf.
More
exciting. You cannot tell that to your kids. You can't tell that to your kids. Thank you. See, you bring, you say, the, and then you say, Ribono Shel Olam, Kabel Be'ahava Uvrason Kol Ruchot HaTzadikim. You know, accept the tefillot of the tzadikim, and then Gan Eden, right? And El Moleh Rachamim, Hagdel Chasdecha Al Nefashot Ruchot HaNeshamot Shel Tzadikim. And you do this to them, and that do that to them. Anna Hashem, Chus v'chamol v'rachem v'rachamecha, al kol nefasho v'ruchot neshomo shel Yisrael, sheniftaru min ha'olam. We start, you know, talking about all these nisusot ha'kedusha. Right? V'titen lahem koach v'ezer v'omet, sheitbareru v'itakenu karaui. All these things are because it's the time of a tichun for these. Now I know. Once those came out, those Kedusha came out, they got gathered. Where did they gather? You know, can they get our Kedusha, can they get Shtumah there, right? Shtumah goes, can get the Kedusha. So that's why Mitzrayim became Erva the Haris, was most.
When did they have them? Then they waited till later, but they were Mitzrayim.
Okay, good. But maybe at some point it was caught then.
Where did the same number of by Har Sinai?
600,000 were everywhere.
So,
right. Yes. So Zohar HaKadosh says, Yisrael is Yesh Shishim Rivo Otiyot La Torah. There are 600,000 letters in the Torah. Now there are not 600,000 letters in the Torah. Okay? But it's a simon, which means that there is a 600,000 Shoresh in the Torah. So you need 600,000. Can I get those 600,000?
So there's more.
But it was more than 600,000. So right. What's the extra?
So the extra, we spoke about it, I think, a few weeks ago. The extra is once you have the 600,000, the Ikar, the rest, the change, is a part of it. To tell you that there could be more than 600,000. But the Ikar has to be 600,000.
Rabbi, that's why the saying that the word has to be 600,000 year because Mashiach comes.
No, it's only 6,000.
6,000?
You mean 600,000 has something to do with this? No. Maybe. I have no idea.
But Rabbi said that by Har Sinai there were 600,000?
They had to be. They could not be mechaber the Torah without there being 600,000 people.
They lost so many people by
Chetah Eger. First was Har Sinai, then was Chetah Eger. Okay, but even those people who got killed at Chetah Eger, they still had 600,000 people.
So can that's a 3,000 extra. That way.
Because they already reached. It could be that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu made them shishah bekeres echad. To expedite the number. That's right.
They just stays on a fire. The 3,000 people died.
Yeah, but there were more than 600,000.
So now I'm saying 600, 3,000 can be there as much as the so now it matches up.
They had kids until then when they didn't have kids.